was in 77.
And what year did you start?
19 with the Air Force. Yeah, I did this work with the Department of Army beginning in 51 through 53. So I believe it would be correct to say I joined up with you people latter part of 53.
And then as an identification specialist for the Memorial Affairs Branch, what would that job entail if you went ahead, as far as going out to the Pacific Branch?
Well, we would be obligated to go to most any base, whether it was, we also worked, you know, for Navy and Marine Corps and some of the civilian airlines. But our job was to identify the crew members involved in a plane crash, and insofar as, well, what I wanted to say, our mission exactly was to establish individual identification of all the crew members aboard any aircraft that was in an accident.
So you would respond from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base to the scene?
Oh, definitely. We had a system whereby if we couldn't get to our destination by commercial air within a reasonable time, we were made our own transportation officers, where we would write our own TRs, and we would coordinate with first outbound flight to wherever we wanted to go. So actually, promptness was quite essential because, well, especially if we had to go some distance. And, you know, you have families waiting for the release of the remains, and if they're not satisfied, then, you know, they complain to their congressman or delays, etc. So it was mandatory that we got moving quickly.
So you would respond to the scene of the accident. Would you typically go to the crash site, or would you just go to the near space?
Most every time, our job description asked or obligated us to go out and assist in the search. So we, along with the Aircraft Accident Board, we're at many and most of the crash sites. Because, you know, a lot of times the experience that we acquired from our work enabled us to help locate and where to look for the remains of certain crews, positions where, you know, the left seat or the right seat or so on.
After the remains were recovered from the wreckage, would you perform the identification in the field at the crash site, or would you remove the bodies to the laboratory or something?
No, Captain. Most all the geographical areas in the U.S. had we offered bids, you know, to funeral homes who had certain funeral directors would. Funeral directors would submit a bid for the contract, the mortuary contract for a year. And it didn't always go to the lowest bidder, but it went to the mortuary with the most reliability, you know, by reputation. And so every part of our country is covered by a mortuary who has an existing contract Air Force. Yeah.
Okay, and then according to this particular crash, and other folks who worked there at the base hospital at Warfare Air Force Base, in this particular incident, they brought the remains to the base hospital.
Okay, now in that particular case, there was reason to. Sometimes, you know, the commander of the base would require an autopsy.
Yes.
So the remains would first go to a hospital to have that performed and then released to the contract funeral director.
I
see.
Okay, so, but typically, and now in this particular case also they did the autopsies were done in a local funeral according to the record. There was not some standard to remove a deceased person from wreckage and then bring them to the Air Force Base hospital in general?
Generally they went to the hospital, yes. And also, you know, the pathology department at the hospitals would usually have coolers. You know, most every base hospital does have a certain number of refrigerated facilities. And pending the arrival of the identification specialist, the remains would be in the cooler. And so, by the time we got to them, the autopsies had probably been performed, and then they were ours to go ahead with our examination. Yeah. My knowledge, I don't believe any nurse has ever offered her services to come in, you know, to assist with anything.
You would, if you were working in an identification, and the nurse happens to walk in the room or something, you wouldn't ask her to assist you?
Oh, no. No, because, you know, without elaborating on our extensive knowledge, or a fundamental background in what we were doing would actually be in the temporary officer of that particular base sent secretary type male, secretary type individuals who would sit at the desk and, yes, record notes that we gave him verbally.
And also, for most of the actions you involved in, is it standard to use the information analysis? Is that something you
can do? Oh, yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, some of us, when we were working with the quartermaster department of Army in Washington, I know I, for one, and several others, worked in the design that remains out. Yeah, we worked on the beginning of that.
About what year was that, sir?
Wait?
About what year was that, sir?
Oh, that was in 51, 52.
Also, at a crash scene, if you were, obviously, once there's been a terrible crash, would it be a standard practice or a practice you think would be appropriate in some human remains, parts of human remains, just put it back in the ambulance or something? Is that something you would do? Would you put it in a remains pouch?
Oh, everything went in a remains pouch.
So you would take, like, a data piece of wreckage, maybe, that had human remains on it, you would take that piece of wreckage and put it in an ambulance?
Oh, definitely not. That's right. Now, I remember one or two cases. I can't be specific and describe the particular aircraft in a certain location, but I do recall one or two cases where the impact and the explosiveness of the burning was so severe that the only parts recovered probably fit in both palms of your hand. In that case, you could not put those fragments in the remains pouch. We had small waterproof bags that were used for collecting personal effects. They were called personal effects bags because that way, you know, you wouldn't be taking a chance on losing. Yeah, so there were one or two, maybe three or four cases of that kind.
And also, in a crash multiple days, in this particular instance, they apparently you were working at a hospital at midnight. I would imagine you were such a long time ago, such an hour, you'd be having a long time.
Very, you're quite correct. Of anybody becoming ill, I do recall that some people stayed, kept quite a distance from us. But, you know, we had to stay with it and do our work and then turn it over to the funeral director for his embalming and preparation.
And another question is, what if you were to do in a large group of names, how would you tip the beach around?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, Mike, in all cases, we wore gown, freshly laundered. We wore a post-operative cap over our heads, and of course we had access to gloves, you know, dozens and dozens of gloves, and we had disinfectant material, and we had running water and all that. So we had quite a good operation. I believe on one or two cases where maybe we recovered the remains in the water in a warm climate. So there's putrefaction and bloating in the case like that. Obviously, yeah, we were. I was often, many times, referred to as a doctor, and of course, later I heard the time I had to correct that.
Well,
Yeah, because, you know, here you are, you're working on an operating table with a bright operating lamp above you, and you've got a white gown on, gloves, you've got all these instruments, and it would be almost realistic in a movie scene, you know. So, sure. I'll tell you, Captain, before I would be part of base, and after I completed my work, I had a temporary report summarizing what was done, etc., and I would give that to the mortuary officer, and he would have that available, and he would take to the commanding officer of the base, because he was responsible. As you know, a wing commander is top man. But before I departed,